After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves, and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people, therefore, saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I read the entire chapter. May the Lord bless the reading. This is a longer chapter to read, and it is filled with the truth of God and many thoughts that could be shared. But for the time that we have, I desire just to simply perhaps concentrate on one facet that is brought out in this chapter that's very easy and common for us, for myself, for mankind, to be drawn into and use it as perhaps for myself first, a warning. And that is a warning against distraction. Did you notice that in the first half of this chapter that there is miracle upon miracle that is brought out? There's the miracle of those that were healed, that were diseased. There is the miracle of Christ dividing the bread and the fish among the 5,000. There's the miracle of the amount of the fragments that were brought up in 12 baskets that remained more than what they started with. There's the miracle of the Lord coming to them as they were on the boat in the time of storm. There's the miracle that they immediately came to the place where they were expecting to go once Jesus was with them. John doesn't elaborate much on these miracles. He says them and they come out in the text as they had happened. And that is often perhaps how it is in life. For some way the psalmist was able to see the stars of heaven and then wonder, what is man that God is mindful of him? To think about our simple beginnings as babes and to think that God knew our frame and when we were knit in our mother's womb, and that God is always near. Miracle upon miracle unfolds itself day by day, and truth reveals itself to us day by day. But do we give it the time to consider, if this is true, what does it mean? What does it mean for my life? What does it mean to me? And what does it teach me about who God is? When we behold the vanity of the physical things in this life and the way that the world is set up and is pursuing, are we directed more towards those things? Or are we directed and reminded of the importance of the kingdom of God and of serving him? If we truly believe that the world and the things of the flesh are vain, then we will have more and more motivation and more reason to seek after something with greater purpose, greater meaning, and we to seek after God. And so it is for ourselves, as it was even in Jesus' time. It is not different. Miracle upon miracle and revelation upon revelation of the truth of God given to us as opportunities to refine our focus and to look back to Him, to look upon Christ and to remember who He is and that He is high and lifted up and that He deserves all the honor and the glory. We do get distracted. We get distracted by what we can do. Philip was thinking. His answer reflects what he was able to buy. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And when the focus and attention of our hearts and minds are on ourself and what we can provide and do, we find that we fall short. Beautiful lesson, even as little guys are coming in and little guys are here listening. There's a little man here. There's a lad that had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? What is a little that's placed in the hands of our Lord can do much. Jesus said that unless we become like children, we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so how often we're distracted to think about our resources, what we can contribute, what we can do, and we come up short. And forget that Jesus has called us to be like children who only know one thing. They only know how to trust. They trust the Lord. They trust their parents. They rely and they do not worry. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Sometimes we, in our own strength that becomes our focus, becomes our priority and where our attention lies. And we wonder, what can we do about this situation or that? And the man in us wants to take charge. But Jesus says, make the men sit down. Child has brought something. And in the hands of Jesus, it can provide. He is the one who gives the thanks and distributes and provides this miracle that cannot be explained with our intellect or accounting. But Jesus can do with a child far more than what man can do. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that when we're overwhelmed and when we see that our hoarded resources are so limited and unable to meet the challenge of the day, let's remember Jesus called us to be children, to trust in Him, to rely upon Him, to take Him at His word, and give Him all that we have. The little lad was not afraid, which is an amazing lesson to me and to all of us. The little lad was not afraid that all of his fish and bread went to Jesus. That's because, well, maybe that can happen in a heart that truly knows who Jesus is. And He's trustworthy. And that He will care for us. And He'll provide exactly what we need. He asks us to give Him our all, even as He showed us, as He took on the cross for our sake. and suffered for us. He's the one that will give us all that we need. So let's not get distracted. Let's be mindful and aware of what God is teaching and speaking to us in the miracles and in the revelation, in God's creation, and even in the affairs of men that show the vanity of this world, and that there's no good end in it. And seek the Lord. The other area of distraction in the second half of the chapter is that of the people that were pursuing Jesus after they had received this food. And they were distracted and focused upon the food. And they looked to try to connect everything that Jesus was saying to how are they going to get another meal. And they truly, they started with this idea, and as they murmured, they started questioning, and then they strove, and they ended up in disbelief, in unbelief. And it just goes to show what a dangerous path it is, where distraction starts and where it leads. It might seem simple at first. And like, oh, well, you are still seeking Jesus, but it's just for a slightly different reason. But then a few steps down the road and it leads to unbelief. And that's a warning. That's a warning for us of what distraction from the simple word of Jesus and his simple declaration. If we just stay with the first few things that he says, we cannot go wrong. And our hearts will be full. And we will find that everlasting life. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. What more do we need? What more do we need than we would believe, that we would trust, that we would put our full faith and hope and confidence in him? That we would see in him, yes, this is how one can be free from sin through the cross of Jesus Christ. He is that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His blood has cleansed. And now, as I follow him by his faith, I can live and find freedom and help. We don't need to ask him for more. What more could he do? As the Jews asked for a sign, they were looking sort of at Jesus, but at what he could do for them, rather than at him and what he has already done. To love what he has already done. To love him as he suffers for us. To love him as he wins that victory. To love his commands as he speaks them to us today through his word. Then all of the burdens become light. And his yoke is easy. And we follow him. And he is with us even to the end. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Where will that take us? Where will that lead us? Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He already said it's him. He is our focus. He's the one that we are to be trusting in. He's the one who can provide. He's the one that provided for them before. Why would they look anywhere else? But they still ask again, give us this bread. They're still looking for something else. And so they miss. And that slight, what would seem like a slight deviation, a slight distraction, becomes a wedge that is driven between these Jews and Christ. Because we have to accept him as he is. A simple, humble man of Galilee, who did not appear to be great or powerful, but is the one that gave life and the one that can heal. And we need to accept his words as they are. When he says, "I am the bread of life," we need to say, "Yes. Lord, fill me with thyself. Fill me with all that thou art. Help me love and to be satisfied with thy truth. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." What other questions could we ask? What other thing would we want or long for? But the thing is, do we believe it's true? If I believe it's true, then I accept him as it is. If I don't believe, then I start looking for something else. And Jesus knows the heart. He knew their hearts and he knows mine. And he warns them and he warns me, don't abide in unbelief. I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Again, Jesus gives them an invitation. Turn around. Don't follow the food. Don't follow what I can give you. Follow me. He's a good shepherd, and his voice goes out and calls to us, calling. And the sheep hear his voice, and they come to him, and he will in no wise cast them out. That tells us about who he is, his love and his care for us. If his word and his teachings and the way that he lived and the way that he died, they all speak the same thing, the great love of God that spared no expense, that spared no cost, but gave everything for us. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Jesus' word and life and the things that we are taught are given for our preparation, to make us ready for that last day. We will hear his voice again. We will hear his voice. Even those in the grave will hear the voice, just like Lazarus did. What will he say? He is going to be looking. Shall I find faith upon the earth? He's looking for faith in our hearts and a love of him. So may we in this day of worship find our dedication, our devotion, and our attention upon Christ our Savior. To love him, to speak of him, to glorify him, and to fill our hearts and make us ready to serve in his vineyard. So may the Lord add his blessing to his word and add much more. Amen.